When I was in school, I thought history was the dullest thing around. How many of you agreed with me? Yes, okay. Yeah. History was boring. You always got tested on names and dates. And if there's anything I'm bad at is names and dates. But there's a consequence. We forget what happened, with whom it happened, or to whom, and that it's real. When we start ignoring the Old Testament because of names, and we can't figure out the dates, we start to ignore God. We're almost like the TV commercial, "What have you done for me lately?" You know, in the idea that, you know, I need something now because in the past it's become now irrelevant for today or even my future. When we start taking a look at Kings, the book of Kings, and we start seeing all that happened to raise up a young fellow like Solomon, who prayed to be wise instead of wealthy, who prayed to discern and rule his people in a godly way instead of seeking power and selfishness and all the toys of the kingdom. That God would keep his word to raise up a child of David as he promised to David, who would build the temple, because David was a warrior king. And he was not the one to build a house for the Lord. This chapter in Kings is about the dedication of that temple. A whole lot of history has happened. A lot of sharing of resources, the cedars of Lebanon and workmen and craftsmen and all kinds of skills came into Jerusalem to bring all of this together. And it took a while to build the temple. Our project here at Grace is nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to the timeline of the temple. And yet, in a way, and I'm going to speak for myself, I'm already impatient. Okay? I want it done. When is it going to be done? You know, and you kind of get this yearning and desire to have it over with. And there are practical reasons. Man, is it dusty in here, you know, because of all the plaster work and all that, and the cement work, and, you know, just the tear down and on and on and on. And that's been uncomfortable for the staff and during the week. But we become impatient. And when people become impatient, do you know what commonly happens? We move on to something else. Think about it. We move on to something else. We decide not to wait. How many of you have ever been in a store and seen people leave the checkout line because they come impatient? Yeah? I've seen people leave their stuff and leave the store because they're not waiting. Well, in this chapter of Kings, what happens for us is we are reminded why we wait on the Lord and why God's handiwork does create in us a desire and excitement and anticipation, and how and why that happens. And it's all because, as King Solomon lifts up this prayer of dedication, it's because God keeps his word. I mean, think about in your lifetime, how many promises have you heard and how many have been broken? And if you could really come up with the exact number, you'd be amazing. I'll call you, right? People say, "I'll call you." They don't. You know, "I'll get back to you." We can fix this. How many times have we heard that? We can fix this. We can take care of this. And they can't. You know, you end up needing replacing, and it costs you more because they spent time trying to fix it. On and on it goes. This is the last, frying pan you'll ever buy. You know, will outlast, that's what it says on TV. Right? I mean, that's got to be true. You know? Or how about the thing that does everything? Does it really do everything? And on it goes. And so what Solomon is laying before us as he's given this word of God is God keeps his word. The other thing that he lays before us is that God is loving. We know in Jeremiah it talks about how he loves us with an everlasting love. We know that God keeps his promises. We know in the time of Jesus' birth, you know, basically the Bible says it was time. It was the right time. You know, God sent forth his son. God keeps his promises. We doubt people, we doubt businesses, we doubt warranties, we doubt many things. But Solomon reminds us we do not have to doubt the promise of God. And the other thing about this dedication of the temple is we don't have to doubt the power of God. A lot of promises, a lot of warranties, or a lot of in the sense of guarantees and reaching out to you is to try and to convince you they've got the power, that they can substantiate this, that they can do this. You know, think about all the medications that are advertised on TV. You know, and this one takes, you know, well, you have to be on this pill 14 days before it takes effect. But this pill, you know, it works in 30 minutes. It's got, and it's like we have the technology, we have the power, we have all this. And yet medications don't always work, do they? Sometimes there's surprises. We get reactions from medications. But what King Solomon lays before us is that God has the power, and by his character of truthfulness, he is true to that word of his power. That power is made known at creation. The heavens and the earth were laid out by God, not by science, not by circumstances, not by the Big Bang Theory, not by the TV show called The Big Bang Theory. Do you understand? God laid this out. God designed us. We can have complaints about our height, our lack of hair, you know, my eyesight, and all the frailty of my flesh. But God designed us, and the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God sustains life. God even amazes doctors. I love that. When medical profession does its best and God still outdoes them, isn't it neat? When a person was shown to have tumors and they went back and the tumors are gone and they haven't had chemo yet, I say thank you, Lord. Don't you? But here's our problem. We're waiting for the next big temple kind of thing before we say, wow. We're waiting for the next big Christmas gift, unexpected, before we say, wow. We're waiting for, you have your list maybe. What King Solomon reminds us is that every day as we are alive in the Lord is a day to say wow to God. That he has chosen to be merciful and sustain us, to watch over us and to protect us. Every day we get to say wow to God and praise his name because he has shown us his truth. And when we're confused or not sure, he is ever faithful right there through his word and spirit. Every day we have an opportunity. Every day What is really subtle in this Kings section is we make a mistake if we think the wow is only because of the building. Because if you read closer in the text, and you only have portions of it on the back of the bulletin, if you read that whole chapter, and even the next one, we begin to understand that the real wow was the fact that the church is God's people. It's not the building. That it's an opportunity for us to give testimony to God. And I know that's not a Lutheran word, you know. Can I have a witness today? You know, we just don't do that. But yet we do it. In our conversations, we talk about how God strengthened us, how God got us through. I don't know what I would do without God. You know, even when we grieve, we talk about the power and the presence of God carrying us. And in this section, it reminds us that when people, and they're called the foreigners, but basically it's anybody outside of God's family. When people come to God's people, the church, it's an opportunity for God to give witness about his power, his strength, his word, his presence, all that he's done in history, and all that he promises yet to unfold. If we forget God's history in our life, his activity in our life, then it's even harder for us to anticipate what's next. Think about it. If we set aside God as if we're done with him because he's done with us, then what's next? What is there to be hopeful about? The answer is not much. We become more of, you know, the Roman mantra, eat, drink, you know, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Pretty exciting, isn't it? But instead, today we are alive in Christ. Tomorrow we are alive in Christ. And if God calls me out of this earth and takes my soul home, I'm alive in Christ. And before the kingdom and the throne of grace, there the believers will stand. And I think it's the ultimate wow, right? You may have traveled around the world and seen the Grand Canyon, the mighty Tetons, the Rockies, the Smokies, wherever. You may have seen oceans and beaches, and you know they're not all alike, right? And you may have gone, wow. But the kingdom of heaven tops it all. Our witness is that we get to say wow because we are forgiven people. We have the cross to lay our sins at. Our witness is that we're alive in Christ and we don't deserve it. That's pretty wowing. Our witness is that we have a heavenly home, that all of this is temporary, and we're okay with that. Our witness is about the power of God as a people of God. And whether we're in the temple, this kind of temple, a temporary room that is now our sanctuary, or whether we're going to be in the one that's remodeled, eventually we'll be in there. Every day is an opportunity to say, thank you, God, for the promises that you have kept, for the things that you have done, and the promises yet to unfold. Every day is a wow. Amen.